What's happening locally? The news.
And it is that time of the day for us to take our look at some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The trial of the Odebrecht case, considered the most emblematic cause of corruption in recent times, and a process that involves two former presidents of the Republic, among others, will not be held starting today, the 1st of August, Tuesday, as initially scheduled. The Second Criminal Case Settlement Court postponed it to its alternate date of September the 27th through to the 17th of October. The judicial branch informed that the court is still analysing the evidence presented by the Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office and the defence lawyers. It is an accumulation of testimonial, expert and documentary elements presented by the defence and the prosecution that the court in charge of Maluisa Martinez must evaluate to determine if they will be admitted for trial or, on the other hand, exclude them. It was reported that the Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office, for example, presented 30 documentary pieces of evidence and 14 testimonials. Among them are bank reports on the movements of the accounts through which Odebrecht's funds were circulated, legal assistance requested from Brazil, Andorra, Switzerland, Spain, the United States and Belize, among other jurisdictions. The names of the witnesses who must appear to testify before the witness stand were not provided. An annulment motion presented by Carlos Carrillo from the team of lawyers of the former President of the Republic, Ricardo Martinelli Berrocal, is also being processed. Martinelli, together with former President Juan Carlos Varela, are among the 36 called to trial for the crime against the economic order and against the national economy in the form of money laundering. The preliminary hearing is in this case was held, that was between the 12th and 28th of September of 2022. Basilio González, lawyer for two defendants, former Minister of Public Works, Jaime Ford Castro, and businessman Aaron Roni Mizrachi, said that he was unaware of the prosecution's evidence brief and explained that the defence attorneys can appeal the admission of some of them. González explained that once the evidence is admitted by the court, the lawyers and the prosecutor's office can appeal its admission, and that this would be resolved by the Superior Court for settlement of criminal cases. In addition to Martinelli and Varela, Ford and Mizrachi, those called to trial also include former ministers Dimitrio Jimmy Papadimitriou, Federico Pepe Suarez, Frank de Lima, and José Domingo Arias, all from the Martinelli administration of 2009-14. Also on the list are Carlos Dubois and the brothers Luis Enrique and Ricardo Alberto Martinelli Linares, sons of former President Martinelli. The Martinelli-Linares brothers have already been imprisoned in New York after confessing before a judge that they received $28 million in bribes from Odebrecht, according to them, on the instruction of their father. The United States designated former Presidents Martinelli and Varela as corrupt. Both are prohibited from entering that country. PRD Deputy Jairo Bolota Salazar, one of those who received $14.1 million from parallel decentralization during this government, will control the Municipal Affairs Commission of the National Assembly. Salazar was elected this Monday, the 31st of July, as the new president of that commission. He was sworn in by the president of the legislature, Jaime Vargas, during an act of installation. The board of directors of this commission is made up of deputies Luis Rafael Cruz and Vice President and Ricardo Santo as secretary. In addition to the commissioners, Jaime Vargas, Victor Castillo, Manolo Ruiz, Elias Vigil, Jose Maria Herrera and Hernan Delgado, who complement the Municipal Affairs Commission. During a brief speech, the Colonese deputy questioned the media. "They chased us, but we're not afraid of it. I was the second most voted deputy in the country. They are slandering," said the deputy, who until now has not given explanations to the country about the millions he received. According to the journalistic investigation by La Prensa, entitled Bolota, the representative who lives as a rich man and maintains his people as poor, Salazar obtained three payments from the Cortizo government for decentralization on April the 24th, the 3rd of May, and the 4th of May of this year. the year had just started, and I had already received more money than in each of the previous 2 years. In 5 months of 2023, he'd accumulated 22% of what he obtained in total, although he has always done well in distributing public funds. In 2021, he achieved $4.1 million, a year later $3.6 million, and so far in 2023, the jump came to $6.3 million. Now, these are 100 fake Twitter accounts that write content favourable to President Laurentino Cortizo and his Vice President José Gabriel Gabi Carrizo. Now, the accounts were created in November of 2022, as well as in the following January of 2022 of the total, and last March when they activated 63. On average, they have less than 2 followers and have made only 2 likes in the time that they've been active. In Venezuela, these accounts published in a coordinated manner in favour of 3 PSUV candidates who were running for governor in their districts. In their messages addressed to the Panamanian audience, they praised Vice President Carrizo while criticising some of his opponents, such as the presidential candidate for the Popular Party, former President Martín Torrijos. Benquist S.A., a Panamanian political communication company, and its president, André Golabek Sanchez, originally from Brazil and proxy for other companies in the digital world, could have been controlling these false accounts. In its catalogue of services for candidates in the electoral process, Benquist offers strategic planning, crisis management and administration of campaigns, including digital ones, and the evaluation of their performance. In 2022, Twitter took out of the game 352 of 357 profiles that generated propaganda and misinformation favourable to political leaders and parties, government agencies, and initiatives aimed at audiences in at least 4 Latin American countries, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, Bolivia, and Panama. The information for this note arose from a study by Cazadores de Fake News, April of 2022, in partnership with 23 media outlets and 4 digital research specialists that cover the region, in coordination with the Latin American Center for Journalistic Investigation. The Institute for the Training and Use of Human Resources, IFARU, published on Monday the calendar for the second payment of the 2023 of the Contest Scholarships and the Universal Educational Social Assistance Program, the PASE-U. To know the day that corresponds to collect the scholarship, you must enter the site www.ifarhu.gob and verify the date and place. Now, the entity record the next Monday, 14th of August, it will disperse the second payment of the PASE-U and the global payroll at the national level for those students who receive payment by means of a youth ID and the social key card. Meanwhile, payments by check will be from August 21st. Payment days are detailed by province and can be found at the following link, again, www.ifarhu.gob. For example, by August 21st, the disbursement for the schools of Ancon will be made effective. For the 22 will correspond to the schools of Bella Vista and Corundu. For August 23rd, the schools of Caledonia, El Chorrillo, Santa Ana, San Felipe, and San Francisco. In total, 769,128 primary, secondary, and secondary students in the country will benefit. The disbursement will be $83,868,060. Some 19 Panamanian productions were registered to participate in the Central American section of the Icaro International Film Festival, a prominent audiovisual event in the region. These Panamanian films include short and feature films, both documentaries and fiction. It should be noted that the film meeting with the longest in history in the Central American region will take place from the 25th of November to the 2nd of December of this year, at its headquarters in Guatemala City. These films will be appreciated and evaluated by a jury of filmmakers who will choose up to 10 productions that will represent the country in the prestigious film event and that will also be part of the programming of the 16th Icaro Panama Film Festival 2023. This last event will take place from September the 25th to the 30th in Panama City and from October the 2nd to the 6th in David, and Puerto Amoyes in Chiriqui, and in Changuinola, Bocas del Toro province, it was reported. The Icaro Panama Film Festival is a joint production of the University Film Experimental Group of the Extension Office of the University of Panama and the Foundation for Performing and Audio Visual Arts. And that's it. There we go. That's our look for this morning, our Tuesday morning look. Some of those items in the local news compiled for you on this morning's breakfast show.